Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Portland City Council. Before we begin the official part, I would like to introduce a special guest that is with us today. I'd like to introduce Mr. Abdulaziz Al-Athal. Thank you very much for standing. He's a Portland State University alumni. He's visiting from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And Mr. Al-Athal is the president of Al-Kuzi International, the vice president of the Riyadh Chamber of Commerce, and a board member of the Saudi Arabian Monetary Agency. Recently, Mr. Al-Athal and his brother Abdullah hosted the largest PSU Gulf Cooperation Council alumni reunion, the fourth of its kind in Riyadh. It's the first time alumni from outside of Saudi borders attended, including President Daniel Bernstein. Through Mr. Al-Athal's support of the Middle East Studies Center at PSU, information and education on Islam and Saudi Arabia are readily available to all Portlanders. We'd like to thank you for being in council today, sir. Thank you very much. City Council will come to order. Carla, please call the roll.
Adams?
Here.
Leonard?
Saltzman? Here.
Sten?
Here.
Potter?
Here. Before we start the agenda, we need to elect a next president of the council. It is Commissioner Adams' turn. I need a motion to make that happen.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I vote for him. I'm just moving the motion.
Sure, I'll be honored to second.
We're deposing Randy and he's not even here?
Best way to depose.
Okay.
Best way to depose, Randy.
Please call the roll.
Adams?
I'm deeply humbled by this ever-rotating honorific title.
Aye.
Saltzman?
Congratulations. Aye.
Sten?
You have my full support.
Aye. Thank
you.
Potter?
Aye. Okay, I'd like to remind folks that...
That was the wrong one.
Pardon?
You moved the wrong one.
That really piss him off. There we go.
His vote too.
Yeah.
I'd like to remind folks that prior to offering public testimony to City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Would you please read items 787 and 788 together?
787, consider the proposal of Ted Gilbert, Portland Affordable Housing Preservation Trust, and Brad Molson, Beam Construction and Management, and the recommendation from the hearings officer for approval of a comprehensive plan map amendment and zoning map amendment for property located at 900 Northeast 81st Avenue, LU 06186208 CPZC. 788, amend the comprehensive plan map designations and change zoning at 900 Northeast 81st Avenue at the request of Ted Gilbert for the Portland Affordable Housing Preservation Trust and Brad Molson for Beam Construction and Management, LU 06186208 CPZC.
City Attorney will describe the hearings process.
Today, this is an evidentiary hearing, which means you may submit new evidence to the council in support of your arguments. This evidence may be in any form, such as testimony, letters, petitions, slides, photographs, maps, or drawings. Any such items you show to the council during your testimony should be given to the council clerk at the end of your testimony to make sure they become part of the record. This is council consideration of a hearings officer recommendation on a comprehensive plan map amendment. Testimony concerning the hearings officer's recommendation will be heard as follows. We will begin with a staff report by BDS staff for approximately 10 minutes. Following the staff report, council will hear from interested persons in the following order. The applicant will go first and have 15 minutes. After the applicant, the council will hear from individuals or organizations who support the applicant's proposal. Each person will have 3 minutes to speak. Next, council will hear from persons or organizations who oppose the applicant's proposal. Each person will have 3 minutes. If there was testimony in opposition to the applicant's proposal, the applicant will have an additional 5 minutes to rebut testimony given in opposition to the proposal. The council may then close the hearing, deliberate, and take a vote on the hearings officer's recommendation. If the vote is tentative, the council will set a future date for adoption of findings and a final vote on the recommendation. If council takes a final vote today, that will conclude the matter before council. There are several guidelines for presenting testimony and participating in the hearing as follows. One, testimony must be directed to approval criteria. Any testimony and evidence you present must be directed toward the applicable approval criteria for this land use review or other criteria in the city's comprehensive plan or zoning code you believe apply to the decision. BDS staff will identify the applicable approval criteria as part of their staff report to council. Two, issues must be raised with specificity. If you fail to raise an issue clearly enough to give the council and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue, you will be precluded from appealing that to the Land Use Board of Appeals. Third, the applicant must identify constitutional challenge to conditions of approval. If the applicant fails to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with enough specificity to allow counsel to respond, the applicant will be precluded from bringing an action for damages in circuit court to challenge the conditions of approval.
Thank you. So we'll begin with the staff report. Staff, please come forward.
Expert.
Oh, excuse me, you're right. Go ahead and sit down, but I do need to ask any members of council if they wish to declare a conflict of interest.
I do.
Okay.
Well, ex parte context.
But we'll get to that one, too.
Oh, wait.
Any other? No members of, no council members have a conflict of interest to declare. Do any members of council have any ex parte contacts to declare or information gathered outside of the hearing to disclose?
Yes, sir. Since filing the application, I visited twice with the applicants to discuss this project. My staff has met frequently with the applicants to discuss various aspects of this project. I visited the site twice without the applicants. And on my recent tour of the Monta Villa, the East Tabor Monta Villa Neighborhood Business District, I talked to local surrounding business owners about this application.
Other? I had ex-party contact to declare at a social meeting. I ran into Brad Molson, and he discussed the project with me. That was the extent of the information. Do any members of council have questions or other preliminary matters that need to be addressed before we begin the meeting? Okay, staff, thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mayor Potter and members of the council. I'm Nan Stark. I am the planner assigned to this case, which is Land Use Review 06186208. It's a comprehensive plan map amendment and zoning map amendment for the Baptist Manor redevelopment. And what I'm going to do is review the proposal briefly and go over the approval criteria. I will show a few slides of the site and vicinity, summarize the hearings officer recommendation, and there are a couple of conditions of approval that I will review for your benefit. So the proposal is a zone change from the existing RH zoning, high-density residential. A small portion of the site is also zoned CS, which is storefront commercial, with a B buffer overlay zone. The proposal is to change the zone entirely to CM, mixed commercial, with the comprehensive plan designation of urban commercial. And it's for reuse of the existing structures and redevelopment of those for 54 condominiums with an additional floor in one of the buildings and up to 69 apartments in the southern building and ground floor retail space. Existing parking area will be utilized and redeveloped for 58 vehicles, and the applicants anticipate that over a two-phase redevelopment project, they would like to get 15,000 square feet of floor area for retail and have proposed a condition limiting residential uses to 95,000 square feet and commercial and retail uses to 15,000 square feet. This shows the existing zoning, which is RH primarily, except for the northern 10,000 square feet, which is in the CS, and the west corner of that is in the B buffer overlay zone. And the orange shows you that the proposed zoning is CM mixed commercial. The approval criteria for this case is 33810050A, comprehensive plan map amendments, 33855050A through D, zoning map amendments, and because the small piece of buffer overlay zone is also to be removed, the approval criteria of 33855060B also apply. This is the site map showing the boundaries of the site. It's just under 2 acres extending from Northeast Oregon to the north, almost to Holiday Street, bounded by 82nd Avenue on the east and 81st on the west. And what this small picture is showing is the main entrance from the southeast corner of the site facing 82nd. And so basically I'm just going to kind of walk you around the perimeter of the site, and you'll also be able to see the adjacent area. So this is looking north from 81st Avenue at the southern end from Oregon Street, and the Baptist Manor site is on the right. And now it's on your left, and this is looking east down Oregon Street. So again, you can see the basically single-family neighborhoods around it. And this is showing the rear or western part of it from 81st Avenue. This piece of it is the later extension. The original building was from 1915. This extension was built in 1950. And then subsequently in 1959, this second building was added with the parking lot. It's the building is close to 82nd Avenue, and the parking lot is along 81st. So you're looking at it from 81st Ave. And then the northern end of the site with this is the nearest residential structure. This is fairly typical of some of the newer infill in the neighborhood due to the high-density residential zoning around it. And now we're looking from 82nd, so fairly small-scale commercial around the area with some multi-dwelling also on 82nd Ave. And then this is east of 82nd back to the single-dwelling neighborhood. This just gives you a perspective of the two buildings from the 82nd Avenue frontage. Bus stop right in front of the building for line 72. And back to the main frontage on 82nd, the nearest commercial. Montevilla Park is basically across the street to the east, and that extends up to Gleason Street. And then we're back. So in summary, the proposal supports all of the relevant comprehensive plan goals and policies, and the change to the urban commercial designation was found to be equally or more supportive of the comprehensive plan. The zoning map amendment from RH and CSB to CM analysis showed that public services are adequate or can be improved, and these conditions are recommended, and they came out of the transportation impact study that the applicant provided. So the density is recommended to be limited to a maximum of 123 residential units and floor area for non-residential uses to 9,800 square feet. And if the applicant wishes to increase the density or the non-residential floor area above those limitations, then Portland Transportation has recommended this condition of approval requiring a Type 2 land use review, which would show through a transportation impact study that the proposed use can be supported by the transportation system with evaluation factors that include street capacity and levels of service. And that concludes my report.
Questions? Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll now hear from the applicant. Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, state your name for the record, and you have a total of 15 minutes.
My name is Ted Gilbert, 1205 Southwest 18th. Mayor Potter, commissioners, thank you for the opportunity to come today. We'll take advantage of our time. We probably won't even need that long. I'll give a brief overview of the project, turn it over to my colleague and co-developer, Brad Malson, who will turn it ultimately over to the architect. We'll show you a couple of pictures of what we hope this turns out to be. How we came to be here actually started about 2 years ago. And I was sitting in the office of Commissioner Adams, working on a project that actually Mayor Potter and Commissioner Leonard helped with, which was the recruiting of a Surety Northwest to move their headquarters to the Lentz Town Center. And after the meeting, Commissioner Adams shared that one of his hopes for Portland in order to build the creative class was to see if there was a way to create affordable housing, live-work housing for artists that someday they could maybe even afford to own. And right at that time, an idea kind of came together, and I said, I know the building, and I know an entity that has the money. Long story short, the Portland Affordable Housing Preservation Trust, which is a 501c3 profit of which I'm chairman and I serve in the capacity here today, purchased the property with my co-developer, Beam Development, and our vision is to create an entire community for artists, and if you want, we can explain how we define that, but it's meant to be a very, very broad description. The first phase is intended to be 54 live-work condominiums that they will get to own. To share with you, and we're underway on that, and that phase is not a subject of this land use review. The zoning is already in place, and we're underway on that one. To give you a sense of the affordability that we're speaking to, I think if you went to the Pearl District and walked in the new towers that are getting built, the most popular unit of all of them are their smallest units, their price point leaders. The last time I went into one, it was like 467 square feet and would sell something akin for $250,000. Our units, and we don't pretend that this is Northwest Portland necessarily, but is a 490 square foot loft unit, high ceilings, all new finishes, starting at $99,995. Phase two is intended to be live-work rental units for artists that are priced so that they could start as low as $200 a month. In addition to that, we're not just there to house folks. We hope to help build their careers. So in addition, in phase two, which is the reason for this zone change request, is we want to have a gallery on the ground floor that will show and sell the work that's produced there. We want to have a performance space. We want to have a small restaurant slash coffee house as well. So, and all of this is being privately funded. So that, in short, is the vision for this, and obviously we'll be happy to answer any questions. I'd like to turn it over to my co-developer, Brad Malson.
So to add to what Ted has pretty much clearly defined, one of the other things that we believe that Portland is... Portland because in large part because of its support of the arts and because of the kind of artists that are coming here and have been here. And so we see this need as a very fundamental need to support the future of Portland related to the arts. Also, I think you all recognize that I didn't state my name, did I? You got me last time. Brad Malson, Beam Development.
Can teach an old dog.
We recognize that there are a huge number of artists coming here, and how do we engage them? How do we support them? And a large, I think there was a recent article that stated that $300 and some odd million of retail sales are related to the arts in Portland every year. I think that's pretty significant, and we feel we want to do our part to engage that. The one thing I think Ted did leave out and is that in this project, this is really an intentional community for artists, and the part of that intentional community for artists is for artists to live and work and support each other. We know that artists are have a lot of skills, but sometimes they're not related to business skills, and we want to help them develop those business skills. We want them to help them to understand how to negotiate a contract with a gallery, how to run a gallery, how to build a portfolio. And to be perfectly frank, I think artists need to be critiqued by artists of their own ilk to be able to grow and to challenge themselves to become better artists. So in this project, a lot of what we want to do is provide some services that will allow artists to succeed within their chosen field. So I think that very much wraps up. Also, I think there's one other element, which is historic preservation. I did have a chance to speak with the mayor. His mayor's mother lived in Baptist Manor at one point, and there is a strong history to the neighborhood of Baptist Manor. There are beautiful buildings. They deserve to be preserved, and it's our intention to preserve them and restore them and engage them in yet another life and create more opportunity for Montevilla and for the city and for artists. So with that, I think I'll turn it over to Bill and Carrie from Works Partnership.
So we have a few images. Bill Naburka from Works Partnership Architecture.
And Carrie Schilling from Works Partnership Architecture.
So we have a few images of the project that I think go to the character and nature of the redevelopment. As Ted stated, it is a two-phase development, the first phase being for-sale condominium units. That was the application was made under the existing zoning. It conforms to the existing zoning. We're looking at creating an artist community that is in some ways economically sustainable, where there are a wide variety of opportunities for living spaces, both rental and for sale. Again, just this sort of location plan, which I think was kind of covered right next to Montevilla Park. Some existing, again, it's a two-part project. The second phase is the historic older structure, which is a multi-part courtyard structure. And the first phase, which is underway, is the 1950s, 1960 assisted care facility. The existing zoning, which is RH, has a 75-foot allowable height limit and an FAR of 2 to 1, which would have allowed 173,470 square feet. The proposed CM is a 45-foot allowable height limit, and it would allow the limitation for square footage is only on the commercial space, so it would have allowed 86,000 or will allow 86,735 square feet. This is just a diagram of the project showing the two buildings. The older structure is at the top part of the screen. The phase one newer structure is at the lower part of the screen, and it shows that we've added a fourth floor onto the roof of the existing structure. The parking lot is just to the top right of the screen. The existing parking is being reconfigured to, I can't remember what it was before.
Yeah, I think the existing parking was pretty inefficiently laid out, but it was like 33 parking stalls, and now we're getting a lot more parking kind of squeezed into the same paved area.
58
stalls.
Just a plan of the development showing the two phases. The phase one is in kind of a brighter blue, the parking lot at the top right, and the older courtyard structure on the left side of the screen. I think what we want to show today is just some quick indications of, again, the character that we're trying to achieve, reusing these buildings, readapting them. This shows some of the areas of the existing building prior to demolition and the same areas after demolition. What we've done is we're trying to modify the structures by reduction more than anything. In the lower right-hand corner, you'll see just a photo mock-up of what one of the typical units will be. It'll be exposed structure and basically just trying to clean up the shell as much as possible. This is a photo rendition of the 82nd Street facade. You'll see that the glass line has moved out. The fourth floor is added at the top, and some new cladding of a combination of wood screens and wood cladding on the front. This is an image of actually the interior space. The parking lot would be to your left, the existing historical structures to your right, and the new entry to the building has been shifted around to actually enter off of the parking area in the courtyard. Just some details of how that 1960 structure is being adapted, mostly with new cladding, new glazing, and the addition of the fourth floor structure on the left. And finally, another image from 82nd showing the redeveloped phase one structure.
And I think that concludes our presentation, unless you guys have some questions.
Questions from the commissioners? Thank you.
Thank you.
Did we have a sign-up sheet?
We did. No one else signed up.
Okay. So we had time for persons who support the application. Are there folks here who support the application? People who oppose the application? Well, I guess we don't have to offer you a rebuttal, folks. Mm-hmm. So we'll just go directly into deliberation. The evidentiary record is now closed. Council has before them two documents, a hearing officer's report recommending approval of the comp plan amendment and zone change and an ordinance implementing the recommendation. Now is the time for council discussion and deliberation.
I would move that we accept the hearings officer's recommendation and amend the comp plan accordingly.
Second.
Please call the vote.
Adams?
Well, needless to say, I'm thrilled to move forward the motion on the table. And deep thanks to Brad and Ted and Carrie and the entire team. I want to thank the Planning Bureau staff as well. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, this looks very exciting, so I love it. Aye.
Stan?
Yeah, I agree. I want to compliment everybody, starting with Commissioner Adams, for thinking this up. And he talked to me about the idea. I thought it was terrific, but couldn't quite figure out how to do it. And that's when the better minds of Brad and Ted came into this. And it's really, I think this is a really big step forward on a bunch of fronts. It's affordable space for artists. It's investing in a part of town that's often underlooked, but doing it in a way that doesn't gentrify the area and move people out, which has come to be more and more of a concern as the city gets more expensive. So I think this just really adds vitality. It's a major statement to artists, people who are trying to make Portland a better place. We want them to have an affordable place of their own. So my hat's really off. I look forward to coming to the what I expect to be a very creative party when this thing is ready to be occupied. So good work, gentlemen. Aye.
Otter.
Point of person. I forgot to thank Jesse Beese on my staff, who's I would be remiss if I didn't do that, who's just done an amazing job on this. Jesse, thank you as well very much. Sorry.
Potter.
I want to thank you folks, too. I think this is a great project. I know my mom, if she were alive, would be very happy that you folks are building a place for artists to live, because she always had a lot of respect for those folks. So thank you very much. I vote aye. Okay. On 787, ordinance to implement recommendations. I hear a motion.
Move approval.
Second.
Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Stinn?
I also wanted to thank Jesse. We all know that Sam's ideas are only as good as his staff. And good job, Jesse. Aye.
Absolutely.
Potter?
Aye. Did you vote? That's it. Congratulations, folks. We're adjourned until next week.
We've got, I'm going to have the
PowerPoint. I'm going to get
set up with you.
Oh, good.
So that you'll have the list of folks to contact. And we've been passing a...